Content warning. This episode includes brief discussions of racism and usage of the N-word.
Good evening to everyone tuning in right now, and welcome back to another Tuesday night with The Interlude. Joining us today is artist, producer, life enthusiast, the founder of Baker's Club himself, Raz Fresco. Raz, how are you tonight?
I'm cooling, chilling. You know what I mean? You see us working on a bunch of things.
I saw that.
Do this interview. Yeah.
It's cool stuff. So where would you say you get your inspiration from for your art and your music?
It sounds like a simple question, but it's a deep question. I could be like, yo, you said my art and my music, you know?
Your art is very different from your music, but there's artists that refer to their art as music.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, where do you get your inspiration from to create?
What? Where did I get the inspiration for music and art? Oh, man. All right. So, very simply put, life, you know, because life is this, you know, the period of existence, you know. So, while I've been alive in the period that I've been existing on the planet, you know, I've obviously I'm making like what's referred to as hip hop music, you know, because I've grown up and been influenced by like the hip hop culture, you know what I mean? And this is like, played an influence on certain ways, like, you know, dress, style, slang, all these type of things, you know? And then, so there's that cultural just influence and this different things I've taken in as I've grown up. You know, I always like I like a lot of different types of music. As far as like hip hop though, you know, if I to name like a couple of different artists, you know, like the Currencies growing up, Kanye West, you know, the Wu-Tang and all of that. You know, Max B. You know, I'm trying to name different types of, you know what I mean? Right. So, like, the waviness and like, the Kanye with the attention to detail and watching how he put his albums together. And then, you know, the whole, the Wu. And they had the knowledge of self in the music, but it was still hard and stuff like that, you know? Even stuff like Mobb Deep, you know, I listen to, like, a lot of different types of stuff, you know? There's Rock Marciano, he's coming up. The cool kids and all of that, you know, that's inspired because I started making beats in like the seventh grade, you know, and like it was around the time I kind of got influenced by the cool kids as well too, and got hip to their music, you know, and Chuck English being like a dope producer, I was, you know, influenced like that. So it's like these are all cultural influences and all of that, right? But then there's just life, you know, and then growing up and you're just growing and learning about yourself and your place in the world, and all these things are going around. You might question the way, you know, why is society like this, and you know what I mean? And you have questions in the back of your mind, you know? And eventually you realize you're not getting certain answers, and the answers aren't good enough, you know, that from everyone that's giving you certain answers, like school or parents might be giving you certain answers dealing with the realm of religion, and your mind is just inquisitive. And it's not being, like, you know, held within that. So you just go exploring, and that leads you on the path to knowledge itself. And yeah, that is a crazy journey, you know. It's a lifelong journey to trying to know yourself. And me just going through that journey and going through different experiences in life now, and just being able to put all these cultural influences and just my life experiences and expressing musically, because the music is something I've been dabbling with since my whole life almost. So yeah, this is big pot, you know, this is big pot of life and experiences and cultural influences that's come together, you know.
It's kind of like you had questions and you were coming up with the answers yourself through your art and through your music.
I mean, because that's just what we do naturally, you know. The brain just puts patterns together, like that's what we do as conscious beings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if you put a baby anywhere on the planet, it's gonna learn the language of the people around it, you know? Why? Because it's just looking around and it's hearing the sounds and it's looking at people's mouths move, and it's going to be able to start putting the pattern together and redoing that. So we all have that inquisitive nature, and we're all putting the patterns together, and you know, it's life is very mathematical, so we're just trying to solve the equations, you know, and as you grow, it's more complex.
You said you started making beats in the seventh grade. Mm-hmm. How many other seventh graders were there making beats in your class?
It's not ridiculously uncommon, like, you know, because my homie had Fruity Loops too, and he is like putting me up on stuff. We are both young, you know, and we're two kids in the high school. I'm pretty sure we're not the only kids that were, you know, we couldn't have been, you know, and then there's like more schools too, so I don't think it's that crazy, you know.
Less crazy, more talented.
You know, I wasn't even making like some of the craziest beats back then, you know, but I was just starting trying to do my thing.
Would you say that's when in seventh grade you realized
like, yo, I'm going to be an artist for real, right?
Something like that.
Nah.
I
just always wanted to just do music. You know, I used to just hate telling people that I wanted to rap when I was mad younger, though. I used to not like telling people that because I thought they'd think I was stupid.
It's a stigma.
Yeah, you know, because they're going to be like, another young black kid, he just wants to rap, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably just simple-minded. I don't know. But I just, as a very young kid, I remember just being self-aware of like, yo, if I tell these people that I want to be a rapper, they're going to think I'm stupid. Like, I know they're going to think, like, they're not going to think that I'm as smart as I am. But I know I'm not as dumb as that sounds. But, like, but I want to rap, though. Yeah.
Since you did mention you started music, not insanely young, but pretty young. What would you say was the hardest part about pushing yourself to continue to do it?
I mean, it's much more easier when you're young. When you're younger, I feel like, you know, because, like, you're just young. This is what you do. It's like, there's so much fun to it, you know. And even now, I love making music, you know. I'm a musical person. I make music and stuff, you know. It's one of the things I like doing a lot. Only when certain things have gotten in the way of my natural creative expression, like, I was always independent. I never had a major deal or whatever, but like, I had different people in my team at different times, right? You know, and at different points in times, you're working with different people. There might be creative clashes and points, like, you know, and that might make the idea of working on this music and making it partially stressful in certain ways. But you know, you get through that, and you know, any hell that is, and because hell, when I say hell, I mean misunderstanding, which is in the mind. And so when I say that, it's like any hell that you're going through mentally, if you love yourself and love what you're doing, you can go through that and come out right and exact. That's just one that philosophy, how I see that in life on some like 5% nation studies. Yeah, love hell or right. You know, you love yourself, you get through the hell and come out right. So any of those misunderstandings in your mind, you know, because the passion for this is greater than whatever else I'm facing, like, you know.
You mentioned the 5% nation. Are you able to talk a little more about that and the role it played in your life?
Well, yeah, like 5% nation is a nation of gods on earth, like, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, all throughout the planet earth, you know, and dealing with knowledge yourself, you know. It's where I studied my supreme mathematics, supreme alphabets, 120 lessons through my educator, you know, born king, mathematics a lot, you know, 5% nation. When I try to build with people, and if they don't have like certain, because everybody has a frame of reference, so you have to have a certain frame of reference for me to be able to pull you into this and be like, okay, this. So you might know like Malcolm X or somebody, like, obviously it's a big figure. Malcolm X was part of the Nation of Islam. You know, the Nation of Islam, that was the organization that he was a part of. You know what I'm saying? He was like, you know, a speaker at Mosque Number 7, Temple Number 7 in Harlem, right? And then in there they deal with the supreme wisdom lessons, and these are the things are coming from Elijah Muhammad, who is running the Nation of Islam, who started the Nation of Islam, dealing with him and Farid Muhammad, you know, and in Detroit and that history, you know what I mean? So with that being said, now it's like the 5% nation started from a brother who's Clarence Smith. He came out of the Nation of Islam, like, he, you know, he's in the Nation of Islam, he's a student minister in the Mosque Number 7 in Harlem. And then at that point in time, like, the lessons that they was dealing with was more so, long story short, to keep it simple, it's like there was, you had to go into the mosque to get the lessons, you know, and like, you know, go through a whole regiment and certain rites of passage at that point in time, that certain people that were in the streets and whatever, they weren't going to go and, you know, go through all of that. But these is the people that really needed the, like, the young in the streets that really needed some of these lessons, you know. This is like New York history in the 60s or whatever. So the brother left the Nation of Islam and then started to further the education of some of the youth in the streets by bringing lessons directly to them. And, you know, and it came with the system, Supreme Mathematics and Supreme Alphabets and all that, boom, boom. And it's building with brothers and sisters and all of that. And yeah, through furthering people's education, people, like, he is a father figure to a lot of these people, you know? So people started calling him a lot of father and all of that, you know? Because he's like a father figure to them. And dealing and showing them the science of they self. Because, you know, you look at man, you know, it's like there's this proverb, this Sufi proverb, where it's like, you know, I went looking for myself and found God. Or went looking for God, I found myself, right? So there's that proverb of just dealing with knowledge of self, because no self is to know God. So that's just the supreme knowledge, wisdom, understanding he was bringing to brothers and sisters. And then that formed the whole nation and all of that. And then when you study New York history and just North American history, hip-hop history, you know that as hip-hop starts to form, early 70s going on and moving forward and stuff, the 5 Cent Nation was very influential in just New York and just during that time period or whatever, you know. You had the biggest rapper in the game was 5 Cent, Rakim and Big Daddy Kane. These are both 5 Percenters, and you know what I mean? So the Nation is also very tied into the beginning of hip-hop history as well, talking about the slang with the cypher and all of this. And you might hear people, yo, peace, God, this, that, and you're hearing certain slangs on tracks and just being like, you know, what is that? But that's where this comes from. That's where all that comes from, you know? Like, I'm a 5 Percenter, you know? My righteous name as a 5 Percenter is I Power Allah, you know? So, yeah, you know, you had, like, Rakim Allah, you know? You had RZA, he's a 5 Percenter, you know? There's different 5 Percenters, you know? Carmelo Anthony is a 5 Percenter, you know?
Of course.
Peace to the God, you know? There's a bunch of different 5 Percenters all over the different place, you know?
How did you discover that you wanted to be a part of that?
Like, my honorable name that my mom gave me, that my mom was pregnant, she had a dream, someone was gonna come, like a lady came to her and said, yo, you're gonna have a son, his name's gonna be RASQUIZ, the lady spelled it out, whatever, right? You know, and then she woke up to my pops, picked the name, boom, that's the name. You draw up the name, break it down, you know, Ras, it's an Ethiopian title for like chief head, you know, like Rastafari, like Tafari is the name, Ras is the title. You know, and then quiz the question, you know? So it's like, I always had mad questions growing up. Like, you know, I'm very, very inquisitive. Like, I'd be like, yo, like, you know, what were black people, like, we had to go to church and stuff, and I'd be like, what were we doing before this? Like, you know, I know we weren't always doing this. Weren't black people the first people? So what were we doing before church? Like, what did we do before all of this? Like, what was it like? You know what I mean? Like at a very young age, I remember, like in the 3rd, 4th grade, like I had to wake up, like, you know, I just questioned stuff, you know, and like growing up, I just wasn't getting certain answers. So that just, we had the internet and all this type of stuff, we could search and find stuff out and get information and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you know, I had a certain fire that didn't get put out, you know. Like life is real, like, you know, as a kid, like sometimes as a kid's mind is developing, you might tell a child a fib or a small like figment of a lie or something, you know, and then it might have like a good moral purpose or whatever, you know, like Santa Claus, like no one's like trying to like manipulate and like control all the children when they say the Santa Claus story. It's more like, you know, it's just a nice little story about, you know, morals, you know, and all of that, and it's like you're supposed to listen to it and try to be a good person, right, whatever, and then you grow up and you're like, oh, it's just like a story and stuff, like it's deeper than that. I see the good part of the story. It's about being good or whatever, but it's deeper than that, right? It's just a story. So there's grown people who believe in some stories that is like some Santa Claus made up stories. Like, you know what I mean? Like men coming from the sky and all of that, you know? And you'll laugh at the kid if he thought Santa Claus is real. But some of the stuff that you, you know what I mean?
Being a member of the 5% Nation, would you say that music or just expression in general is important for the youth to find themselves and find their own peace?
I mean, absolutely. Because here's the thing, like, you know, some of the music I listened to growing up may mention of certain things that put my mind that, you know, and I had my own little filter filtration system at certain points, but all youth are impressionable. Like, you know, we all can look back and be like, yo, I remember this phase in my life. I was listening to this, doing this. You know, I was listening, and like when I used to do this, and I listened to this, and I hang out with this crew, and we listened to this, and we did it. Like, there's things that accompany, because music is like the soundtracks to our lives, you know what I mean? So there's like, and you have to think about it too, like with certain even communities, cultures, whatever, like people who are like emo versus people who are like the, who like to sit in the park, and you know what I mean? And you know what I mean? And there's different soundtracks and vibes. There's people who listen to the meditation music and the crystals and all of this and the third. And there's people who listen to certain music to go get amped up and go shoot somebody. They're like, okay, I'm gonna put this, and I mean, it's, and then there's people who, there's, so people, you can use music in all these different types of ways too, you know? So, but there's messages within the music. Even music without words can stimulate the mind in a certain direction, you know? And have an effect on your mood, temperament, right? These things have been proven, right? 70% of the communication is nonverbal, you know? So there's a communication aspect going on, you know? Even down to, like, just that one aspect of the drum. The drum in ancient communities is even used as a form of communication. And all of this, you know, and you can just pass down different rhythms and all of these different things, melodies, lullabies, bedtime stories. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just showing all these different, this is to put children to sleep and soothe them. You know what I mean? And the babies are going to sleep. These are all different musical experiences.
Speaking of instrumentals and their effect on people and life, can you talk a little bit about your last release, Pocket Operations?
The Pocket Operator is a dope new like sampler. There's this company, Teenage Engineering. They make it. They have the OP1. They have this thing called OB4. It sounds like a bunch of different, like, I'm just taking it in, like, you know, it sounds like some code stuff, like OB4, like OP1. You know, the Pocket Operator,
yeah.
You know, PO33, PO32, all these different types of codes. I don't know. It's part of their marketing, I guess. It's cool, though. They make these cool, intuitive things. So, anyways, the Pocket Operator is a very small sampler. It, like, fits in your hands. It fits in your pocket. You know, you got, like, 45 seconds of sample time. You can make beats on it. And it's real small. It's a cool gadget. So, I was like, yo, I want to – it's actually mad powerful. You know, and because of the limitations on the device, you got to use it a certain way. It's like different than making beats on different pieces of equipment that I have. So I was like, I'm going to make a whole album on the Pocket Operator. You know, I was making content with it already. It was cool and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I want to make this a thing, like, you know, Pocket Operations, you know. So I put out the instrumental album, but I also have a version of the album where the songs on every one of the beats. So it's like, it's an album and it's an instrumental album because, like, the fact that I made the whole album on the Pocket Operator is a thing, you know? So It's like, I just put the beats out, you know, but the version with all the songs is just available on the site for sale. But yeah, it's a cool little, like, project, just something to do, test my own creativity and things like that, you know?
Is there any track on the project where you can pinpoint the exact location, time?
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm about to say it. Like, I made a beat in my bro's whip, like, in Ubers and like outside, and I went to vinyl stores and sampled in the vinyl store and stuff. I don't know if any of the beats I made in the vinyl store got on the project. Like, I was like linked up to go with my homies out to an event. We're there just chilling at the crib, and I was like, you know, had Pocket Operator, you know, make a little beat real quick, you know, yo, listen to this. Where's the Bluetooth speaker? Boom, like, you know, one of those beats ended up on the project. Yeah, man, you know, just Pocket Operator, bring it in your pocket, man. You know, I might have it in my pocket right now. I might have another one. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm dead. They say, yeah, I might have it in my pocket right now. That's hard. Yeah. But
inspiration can strike you at any time, though. Like, you're walking down the street.
I mean, I have other things that are mobile, too, but they're just not that small. They don't fit in your pocket. Like,
it's convenience.
Know? Yeah.
In terms of all of your creative projects, albums, EPs, what was the one that was most enjoyable to create?
Here's the thing. I'm trying to think, you know, because some of these records, like, and it's like everything that's already out, too. Like, holy, like, You know?
You're the one that gave you a feeling like you were like a kid again. Like you were a kid in the playground again. The sickest playground in the whole town. Like what was one project that made you feel like that?
Yo, I'm trying to think, man. I'm trying to think, man.
No pressure. Everyone's just looking at you.
All right. Stop looking at me. Nah, hold up. Let me think, though. I'm gonna just pick randomly, like, just go like that.
Approximately 10 hours later.
The funnest project to make might have been... Yeah, I don't know if I can... I don't know if I can answer that question. Some of these projects, you have to understand, like, some... You know, like, you know, like... See how some people binge and do things? Like, some people are like, they binge do this. They'll just watch a whole show for a weekend or whatever. Or they'll, like, they'll binge eat and just eat for, like, 4 or 5 days. Or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know how people just do things, like, a lot at a... Just go... Like, I do... Sometimes I'll do albums like that. So it's like this blur. Like, you know, like, for this week, I've just been recording nonstop, ignoring people calling me. I just get... Sometimes I'll get into the zone where I'm just recording song after song after song. And it's just this big blur. And I'm just like, you know, it's like I made a song and then I was like, oh, wow, I made another one. It's like, you know, that song like that. There's a lot more going on in my mind. Like, there's so much nuances. Like, you know, like, okay, I'm going to make it. And like this, this boom, next song. Like, you know, and it's like I'm in this blur. I'm in this creative haze. It's like, you know, I'm like, man, I'm going to have to do a bunch of other work after this, too. Let me just really go into this right now, like, and just... You know, and then I come out of it, I'm just, like, listening to everything. I'm like, okay.
You get on the roll.
Yeah, man, I don't know. It's like a video game. It's like, you know those video games, like, back in the days, you have to go to each world and conquer the world. But each world is probably fun, you know? Like, as a kid, you're like, yo, long story short, that's how the albums are. I'm just like, I'm in this world. It's cool, you know? It's like, because, for instance, here's why it's hard. There's a producer. Like, I produce. Mm-hmm. So I love my own beats. You know, and I make my, I have albums I've done a lot of production on. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's my beats. Not to sound like that, you know? So, I mean, I make it, I'm like, oh, this is dope. Then there's a whole next producer who makes beats in a whole different type of way. And it's like, now when I bring myself to those beats, those projects are fun because I don't even got to make the beat. Now it's just like, yo, I could just pick the beats and rap on the beats, you know? And the beats might bring out a different side of me. Now it's like, okay, that's done. Then I meet a different producer now. DiBiase, like, boom, that's like Future Wave. Then I meet DiBiase, West Coast, boom. The whole different style of beats. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, wow, this is crazy. It's like I'm now in this whole different world. I'm like, okay, like, I get to, I'm me in this world now. And I make this, boom, now it's a whole next album. Then I have a next producer, ALS. He's coming with a whole, he's chopping up the samples the next type of way. It's all crazy. It's hitting my mind. It's bouncing off everything. I'm like, these three different producers could have hit me with a beat and make me think about the same girl, but different things about that same girl. But the girl's my life. You know, that's the next thing, too. The music, you can reflect on bad stuff, too, in your life now. And just oh, man, it's so deep. Because, like, you can have let's say it's like, yo, someone comes to you, yo, what's wrong? You don't even know how to say it. Because them asking you about what's wrong, right, means that you have to be able to communicate it in the form of a person-on-person conversation, right? Now, and you have to be able to communicate your energy, the way you're feeling, your energetic state, and the way that it's moving, your emotion, your energy, emotion. You're going to have to communicate the way that you're feeling to them and be like, this is how I'm feeling. This is, my emotion is like this, and this is the way I'm feeling about it. Boom, right? You know, so... Some people, that's just one way of energy exchange, just the communication of the conversation. But some people might not be able to get that feeling off and truly be able to let you know how they're actually feeling with words in that conversation. But then now it's like that same person takes that energy, right? Because energy cannot be destroyed or created. It's changed forms now. So now that energy that they're feeling now, they could put it into a painting. And it's like, I got it off. And that painting represents that. And you look at that painting and it's like you're seeing into that person's mind and feeling what they were going through in a way that they could not express to you in words. Now, the painting is a visual form of that. Then the song is another form of that. You know what I mean? There's all these different forms of expressions, you know? Even cooking, because it's the culinary arts, you know? And this is when you get into the deeper science of what art is and just creative energy and creatively doing something, you know, and utilizing skill to, you know, allow your creativity to flourish in a myriad of ways, right? So, yeah, so now with that song now, it's like you can have bad experiences that I can't even explain to a next human being, but if I put it out in the song now in a certain way that I'm able to get that off in a constructive way and not a destructive way, and in a constructive way, right? And then someone else can sit down and be like, yo, when I listen to this song, it makes me feel like this, and it makes me feel like I'm here. And I'm like, yo, that's exactly what I made it, you know? And then it happens again and again, and you're like, oh, this is actually something that you realize is a science now. Like, and then there's a science to it. Like, you know, you make a song, you be like, yo, I'm going to make you feel like you're on a beach. Someone listen to it. Yo, I feel like I'm on the beach. It's like, ah, gotcha. It's like, you can do that. There's a science gotcha. To it. So, you know, but for real, though. So, yeah, so that's why it's so deep, too, you know, because it's like, now each project might have some good experiences, bad experiences, and things that I can't say in another way. So, yeah.
No, it's just crazy that you said that, because I always say that in terms of my own expression, writing is the shit I'm too scared to say to myself. Mm. And getting it down on paper is just easier than saying it in real time to myself. So with that, would you say your music would be a form of communication?
Absolutely, because that's some of the things that an artist, sometimes a good artist can communicate feelings that you don't even know how to articulate yourself, but then they put it into a mood and just be like, sometimes it make you feel like this, and you're just like, yo, he's right, like it does, like, yo, I felt that, like, ah, it feels so good to feel that someone understands me, and that's the best part of life, the understanding, the clear mental picture, to be like, oh man, someone feels me, and someone gets what I'm going through, you know what I mean? It's like, yo, I always wondered about that about life. Okay, he just pointed the light now. It's like, you know, so sometimes it's like, because the truth is like the light. Like, you know, so sometimes I just, and there's universal truths. And there's different levels of truths. Like right now, outside the window is night. That's true. But somewhere else is day. So the universal truth is that the sun is shining. That's the truth above, yeah, see what I'm saying? So there's levels to it, right? There's perspectives and there's levels to it, right? So there's universal truths about life. Like, you know, what goes up must come down. There's the law of rhythm, you know, the law of correspondence. As above, so below, the vibration, everything's vibrates. There's a science, you know what I mean? Everything has a science to it. It's mathematical, you know, universe, you know what I mean? And I study life and matter, and I see life as mathematics, you know what I mean? So with that being said, to bring it back into, like, the realm of music and all of that now, right? That's the whole science of you being able to communicate things to other people might not be able to, you know, as a science, because I'm a scientist with the music and sounds and all this or whatever, you know, and just in life in general. So there's like certain truths that I'm trying to convey in the music too, you know, and feelings and things like that too, that to make people, you know what I mean? Because there's a certain therapeutic process to it, you know what I mean? I love being young and certain artists that just spit certain real game and truth about life and put you up on facts and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. That's what I liked, you know?
As the founder of Baker's Club, what are you trying to communicate through your collective and through the Baker's Club vision?
I mean, the Baker's Club, right? Art collective, label, brand, trying to put out good music out there, you know? Good product with a good message, you know, good music and good product with a good message, you know what I mean, good vibrations, good vibes, you know, push culture in a good direction, you know what I mean, and put out that knowledge, wisdom, understanding, you know, what do I promote, freedom, justice, equality, you know what I mean? Yeah, because everybody needs these things, you know? So that's what I'm about.
When or at what age did you come up with Baker's Club as a vision or idea in your head?
Yeah, I think I was around 14. It's like around 2009. Baker's Club, I came from a rap line I had, you know? I was like...
We can hear the line?
And my first line, I was like... Because I had this project that I named the project Welcome to the Baker's Club.
Okay.
You know, Yeah, the line, something about welcome to the Baker's Club, you know? And yeah, that was, I was like, yo, Baker's Club. Like, it's, yeah, 2009, around 14, Baker's Club. Was that, yeah.
First members of Baker's Club, I'm assuming yourself.
Yeah, no, nah, it was me. There's me. There's Brandon Shea. There was P Black, Chill Will, Low Thrax, and like Chill Will's from like Tacoma, Washington. Low Thrax from Little Rock, Arkansas. P Black's from Columbus, Ohio. So these guys were from the States and all of that too. Like, you know, like it was me, and like, yeah, we just, I was like, had a little online blog. We're putting out music, collaborating together. Yeah, and then like after Six came, Brisk in the House came after the first year. So that was 2011. Yo, this is a long time ago. No, I'm joking. It's not that long. But man started young too, because like I'm like 15 or 16 at this time, you know? But word, yeah.
So when you brought Baker's Club to these artists that you mentioned, did any artists just straight up say, no, this is dumb, I don't want to do this?
Nah, not really, you know, I tried to like make sure I was a sniper, like, you know, I wasn't even trying to get rejected. And I came with an offer they couldn't refuse.
And why is that?
Huh?
And why is that?
What do you mean? You ever watch mafia movies where they're like, hey, Joey, I need you to go to Atlanta for me. If you don't go, I know where your mother, your sister, and they all live, you know? We call Paulie. No, I'm joking, like, I was like, yo, for it would basically be like the same type of approach, like, you know, like, yo, what's up, like, you making music? It was like, yeah, man. You'd be like, yo, who you like making music with? And it's like, yo, I'm just making music by myself. And it'd be like, all right, yo, you want to make music with me, Baker's Club, what's up, like, you know? And they'd be like, all right, cool. And it was like, it kind of that simple. It was really that simple. Damn, it's like that Wu-Tang song, Can It All Be So Simple? It's like, yo, it was really that simple.
It seems like you're shocked that it was that simple.
Looking back, I guess, yeah, it wasn't no long deliberations, like, okay, like, because I'm young, like, you know, I'm not going to give you some big deal or something, you know, it's like, yo, you want to, like, I like your music, let's make music, like, together. It's like, all right, cool, I like your music, too. If they didn't like my music, we wouldn't have worked, so it's like, okay, we all like each other's music, let's make music together. Yippee. You know,
it's different that you said it all comes so simple, because not a lot of artists go through simplicity like that when creating something or creating a collective. So when you look back at it, and
I mean, there's like other parts to it, like, you know, like, well, yeah, it started simple.
It's gonna be a lot of parts to it. It's not easy. I'm not saying the process is easy, but the idea and the vision, like, a lot of people find themselves like battling with themselves, you know what I mean? And I feel like because you were the person you were, and you knew what you wanted to do, and you had that very big awareness within you, you were very certain about it. And I feel like when you're certain about it, you're right. You did give them an offer they can't deny. So you came with certainty. As an artist and also as a father, what's one thing you would want your children to take away from your career as an artist and from what you're doing right now?
The jewels in my music, the real life, like, you know, just jewels. I've dropped a lot of historical facts, like, you know what I mean? Even in the art, like, my music is like a knowledge of self roadmap, like, you know, like, I'll be, like, I already know the way I set it up that when I am dead and I'm not here, there's going to be people who might just come across some of the music and look at some of the art and see some of the people in the art, like a young child, and be like, yo, who is that? Then, you know, because I got, like, Dr. Sebi with the fruit basket, like, he's a superhero, you know. I got the Khalid Muhammad's, I got the you know what I mean, the Huey P. Newtons. I got certain influences, you know, and just my words myself, like, that I put out there, like, you know, the record I just dropped off Secret War of Sin, you know, the black and white video. If you listen to the hook of the track, it says, living in a world of sin, hidden is a world within, strive to live a way of life, not get caught up in the ways of men. Like, if you listen to some of my lyrics, they're scriptures. They're not just rap lyrics, like, you know. They're not just songs. They're psalms, like, you know. It's deep. So, that it's all there. You know, I left it there, like, you know. I have tracks like, oh, man. See, like, there's different, I don't know if you want to beep it out, beep certain things out, whatever, but, like, you have different, even historical terms you're going to read, like, you're reading certain old in literature, whatever. You have black people referred to Negro, right? And all these different things, right? Now, I have a track. It's even on an album that dropped years before even any of the Magneto was right stuff. You know what I mean? And there's jewels just all throughout music scattered from time because I've been doing them. I started like my lessons like around 2014. You know what I mean? As a vibe center and all of that. So there's a track and it's and even in the hook it's called Build, right? And it says before the invention of the nigga, because you have to understand the like what a nigga is a mind state. It's an invention, right? Like, you know, this is the, like as far as even in, you know, you're taking it back to like Willie Lynch, the making of a slave, like how black people were socially engineered to, you know what I mean, act certain ways, you know what I mean, and being withheld from certain knowledge, not being able to read different types of things, right? So it's like certain mind states have been like socially engineered, right? So I have joints where I'm just pointing a young mind before we were even old, like niggas, you know what I mean? What were we before all of this? Like, you know what I mean? And the hook is before the invention of the nigga, before Thomas Edison, it was Imhotep, black thinkers, for real. And I keep dropping, and this track's from years ago, right? And I'm telling you, like, before that you have the Thomas Edison, the people who are, you know, considered great inventors, and it's historically documented that he stole enough of his patents from enough of the slaves and things of that nature as well, too. Like, you know, it's not like all of these things that were taken to the patent office, like, this is my invention, we're actually his invention. There's still enough black people's invention, this is the third. There's enough stuff like that has been documented, whatever, right? So it's like, you know, I already know through my music, I'm pointing people towards that, like, you know, and pointing people towards the knowledge of themselves. Like, there's a whole, like, you have to understand the state of the world that we're in, like, you know, like, 85% of the people are dumb, deaf, and blind. They have no understanding of their origins, of where they come from themselves, like they're like, you know, like the universe, like, and just the science of life or whatever. So I know I've left that in my music, and I just, that's what I represent in life, you know. I know I appreciate that, and I like, because there's people who've done that for me, like my father, who's dropped jewels on me, the older gods and different people within just life in general. I know how much I appreciate that, because sometimes and a lot of times knowledge is life or death. Because knowledge is awareness. It's like not knowing left or right for you cross the street. You have to look left or right. The lack of awareness is life or death, right? And knowledge also gives you a choice, like, you know, because you have to know better to do better so you can be better. So the fact that the knowledge is there, it's giving somebody a chance to do better and potentially be better. That's for the seeds, like, you know. I already think about that, like, you know. So it's not even like I got to, like, not think about what I'm doing to think about what I'm doing for the city, because it's all together, like, you know. It's like I try to brainwash people in reverse, like, that's what I gotta do, because we're like brainwashed. So it's like I gotta brainwash people in reverse. It's like the good brainwash. It's like wash out the lies, you know.
My last question for you tonight, Raz.
Oh, this is your last question. This is not even the last question. This is your last question. My last question,
not okay.
Okay.
My last question for you, if there.
No.
Gotcha.
I'm joking.
One piece of legitimate advice to the youth finding their creative passions overall.
You have to know better to do better, be better. So in any type of field or whatever, you're going to have to educate yourself, obviously, you know, because knowledge is important, you know. You have to empower yourself with the appropriate information, you know, and whether that's like the certain skills and certain things. And if you don't have that knowledge or know-how, you have to seek people, you know, potential mentors or things of that nature, especially for people who are really young, like, you know, like people, if you want to be successful in a certain field, like if you want to be an engineer, for instance, you have to, you know, find somebody to apprentice with and this, that, and the third, you know. So now if what you're doing isn't that simple and it's not like an apprenticeship that's like right around you, you can like even just find people, you know, the internet and things like that is big, you know. You can just find people to like study certain formulas and get out there and do it too, like, you know. Yeah, just educate yourself and get out there and do it. You gotta have that hustle, you know, because they say like hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. But then it's like, yo, you can work harder or it's about working smarter. So it's like all these layers to it, you know. You need to educate yourself, you know what I mean, so that you can start putting in that work. And then you start working harder, you'll be able to work smarter after, because you'll be able to look back at what you're working and then refine your work. And then, yeah, with progress and time and consistency, you can make things happen, you know, that people thought you couldn't.
Everything you said tonight, it hit home, especially with a lot of different people in this room, let alone the amount of people that are going to hear this. Mm. And you have a talent in that. You have a talent in teaching and furthering knowledge of the people around you. You create an environment where people can feed knowledge off you and grow from that.
Because everything's up for question, you know? So exactly. That's the beautiful thing. Like, that's something that the older God, even as a 5%er, like, you know, it's like, yo, everything, examine everything, you know? Everything is up for question. No one is above question or examination, like, you know? Mm-hmm. You know nothing. So with that, too, you're just deepen your understanding of things, you know? When you have the, because to do the knowledge is to look, listen, observe, and respect, learn, you know? So you have to give everything that respect, listen, you know? Taken a lot.
And I respect you for taking time out of your busy life to sit down and talk to me and
it's all good.
Teach me and everything in between. It was a pleasure interviewing you. I would want to give you a moment, drop your socials. Where can the people find you?
At Barack Obama on Twitter. No, I'm joking. Okay. It's Raz Fresco, RazFresco. Yeah, that's it. That's actually it. It's actually me.
Well, thank you so much, Raz, for sitting here today and talking with me. And thank you for everyone listening. This is another episode of The Interlude.
Yay. Bombo class. Bombo class. Yo, living in a world of sin. Hidden is a world within. Strive to live away your life, not get caught up in the ways of men.
World, it could drive a man crazy. That's why I got knowledge of self and build daily. Stay level headed, doing shit ain't all gravy. We show improved jewels, cause we gotta teach the babies of the world. Play me, you might just play yourself. Save me, you got.